Call me sentimental, but I miss the smell of Red Star yeast going into that curve on the freeway just past Milwaukee Casket. Well, what do you know?
Live from the historic Pabst Theater in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, Dave Bayless on drums, and I'm Mike Arnold. In this hour of What Do You Know, it's all the Cream City news that isn't, Mayor Tom Barrett and the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know is provided by PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who says she sits and sips Schlitz, Michael Feldman.
That's one. And you can't enunciate it or you're not from here. Okay.
Did I enunciate too much on that?
Too much.
Sorry.
Like you were trying to do it. Say it 10 times fast.
I was
she sits and sips Schlitz. Go ahead.
She sits and sips Schlitz.
Again.
See, I can't do it.
No, she sits and sips Schlitz. She sits and sips Schlitz.
No, I'm not going to do that.
She sits and sips Schlitz.
We're going to wind up breaking
the law. She sits and sips Schlitz.
She sits and...
She sits and sips Schlitz.
You stop it, too. I tell you, this is dangerous.
She sits and sips Schlitz.
She sits and sips Schlitz.
No. Think about it. She sits and sips Schlitz.
She sits and
sips Schlitz.
See, I can't.
Sits and sips Schlitz.
You're just making me nervous.
She sits and sips Schlitz. Do it, Arnold. Come on.
I can't. She sits and see. I'm going to say something bad.
She sits and sips Schlitz.
This is just dangerous. She sits and sips Schlitz.
Yeah, you can't
say it
slow down. No, you can't. Yeah.
It was good enough.
Anyway, Milwaukee, what a place to grow up. Field trips to Schlitz Brewery. Hi, kids. That's the only place I ever went on a field trip was to one of the breweries. It's wonderful. Sometimes Miller, sometimes Pabst was a good one. And at the end, samples and a little eyewash cup. Yeah. These little eyewash cups full of the product. Those were the days. Back when Pride Builds Milwaukee was painted on the garbage trucks. Remember that? They were parked at the tavern for lunch. Pride Builds Milwaukee. Yeah, it was a wonderful thing. In case you're wondering why your trash was late, they're still working on the Pride building. And Braves opening day was like a religious holiday, like Yom Kippur. Opening day for the Braves. You just had to take your ticket into the office to have it stamped, and you were home free. You were gone for the day. Very nice thing. Those are the days. Milwaukee. We don't even have a solid waste in Milwaukee. We have Milorganite. Our very excrement is gold, ladies and gentlemen. What it means to be a Milwaukeean. Ich bin ein Milwaukeean. There are those who say jaywalking cannot be curbed. Let them come to Milwaukee. There are those who would have us believe that lawn care cannot be a way of life. Let them come to Milwaukee. There are those who do not know the difference between a bubbler and a water fountain, and God knows where they've been soaking their feet. Let them come to Milwaukee. Yes, my friends, I am proud to say Ich bin ein Milwaukeean. Ich bin ein Milwaukee. Yes. Okay. That's all I have to say about that. In all the Milwaukee news that isn't, Brewers owner Mark Attanasio comes to Milwaukee and threatens to shoot Hank. And Brewers win. It hasn't been a good start for the Brew crew, who mistakenly put their bobbleheads on the field. Hank dropped 7 straight loads on the clubhouse floor. Been a Bichon for the little boy. What a Bichon. Ryan Brown hitting Bob Uecker numbers. Pretty much proves it wasn't the sesame seed bagels. Went from peds to deads. No offense to anybody, including Jay Buberick, who's out there somewhere, but now he feels more like a Jewish ball player. Come on, we don't have that many, and they're not that good. They're screening fans at Miller Park now looking for cyanide capsules under tongues and peri-peri knives. In other Milwaukee news that isn't, Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark gets the lead for Blazing Saddles 2. see him with the... We're going to kill him. We're going to kill him. Okay. Johnson Controls CEO keeps his job after promising to control his Johnson. That was a gimme, you know, what the heck. State Court of Appeals to decide whether a Milwaukee employee should at least live in Pewaukee. They're still coming up short on the Bucks World Arena Casino and Water Park funds. Bucks World! Despite Governor Walker's generous offer of $300 million in University of Wisconsin funds. Put it to something useful. That's the Wisconsin idea. Put it in Bucks World. That's the idea. Future is basketball players, ladies and gentlemen. Not our children. The total package, including Bucks condos, high-rise, and Greyhound Park, is about $1 billion. So, but it's the best $1 billion you ever spent. The $1 billion figure comes from the New York hedge fund boys appraising the starting five at $200 million each. Now we just, this is touchy, I can tell right now. Okay, I'm going to take that back. Seems a little high for basically the Dominican College team in green. So. They show a lot of promise once they graduate, I think. But I'm no hedge fund basketball genius. So. Remember when heart surgeons owned basketball teams? Whatever happened to those days? Grocery store owners owned basketball teams. Anyway, still, if the hedge fund boys sell short and the Bucks lose, they win. Anyway, okay, forget those jokes. We're taking those out of the mix. Okay, other Milwaukee news that is, it was revealed today that that Supreme Solar Allah is the son of Gwen Moore and the sun god. That just in. Milwaukee OK's a streetcar named Twilight Zone. That's the old number 20 trolley that goes down Center Street to the turnaround at the water tower there. Rod Serling greets you as you get on. Sure beats high-speed trains, I think. Yeah. With a high-speed train, you're in Waukesha before you can get a Gesundheit to your sneeze. You know, assuming you start in Milwaukee to sneeze, I guess that would be. The Journal Sentinel spins off both the Journal and the Sentinel. They'll just be selling ink and paper now. Milwaukee YMCA files for bankruptcy after selling off the cop, the Indian chief, the cowboy, the dude who climbs poles or something like that. Motorcycle dude and the sailor. 300 rescued Waukesha chinchillas are now 312 rescued Waukesha chinchillas. 88 more, you've got a Waukesha chinchilla coat, ladies and gentlemen. Ooh, that's a nice Waukesha coat you got there. Hillary Clinton is continually referred to as Ovary Clinton by Milwaukee County Supervisor DeAnus Alexander. And a study of videos from Milwaukee police body cameras shows virtually nothing but Dunkin' Donuts counter girls putting up with them. That's all in Milwaukee news. Edison, thank you so much. And don't worry about the Bucks. They'll be fine. And the Brewers. And Hank is fine. Don't need to alarm you on any of that. Just news that isn't. In the best of Milwaukee 2014, who's there but the mayor? This is probably the only town in America, or city, I should say, in America where the mayor makes the best of. And that man is here with us today, this morning, Mayor Tom Barrett. Ladies and gentlemen,
join us right now.
I'm sorry, couldn't the mayor make it?
No, he couldn't make it.
Are so you I'm like here. His aide?
I mean, I'm an intern in his office, and so I thought I'd stop by. I'm really nervous the first time I've ever spoken to somebody.
Oh, wait a minute. You shaved. You shaved. That's what it is.
I shaved a little bit, yeah.
I shaved the mustache.
I had my mustache for 30 years, and unlike you,
yes,
who's kept the color in your mustache very well.
Yeah, that's because I use a little something.
Well, I look I looked in the mirror one day and I thought, oh my God, I'm starting to look like Captain Kangaroo. the mustache is gone because
that's why you're the favorite, though. Yeah, because you look like Captain Kangaroo.
But you understand this too. When you're 20 years old, you grow a mustache to look 5 years older. When you're in your 50s, you're thinking, now why do I want to look 5 years older?
I don't know. Are you going to grow it back? I know there's a campain started now.
I have people picketing in front of my house right now.
They're picketing your house?
Bring back the stash, yeah.
So. In Washington Heights there?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And welcome home. The prodigal son has returned.
Yes.
It's great to have us.
Prodigal.
We've been worried sick about you all these years.
I didn't go home, though, the 58th and Senate, because my brother Howard went there on a reunion thing and said there's a guy sleeping in what would have been mom's flowers. Flower bed there on the alley. So, he said, you don't want to see that. Plus, there are things growing out of the gutters in the house.
So, are you a Washington High School kid? Is that
yes.
Where you went to school?
Okay. Yes.
Very good. Very good.
I'm in the Wall of Fame now.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Are you? No, you went to the Catholic school.
No, I went to Marquette High. So
Marquette High, okay.
But not far from you. I grew up not far from 58th.
Two separate worlds we live in. Well, we spent a lot of time at the Catholic girls' schools for dances and stuff.
Well, that's good.
Divine Savior, DS Girls.
I still have
Holy Angels. Ooh, yeah. HA. Those are all Jewish kids there. And we went to those dances, and the girl, and there would be a nun. It would be in the gym. There'd be a nun under every basketball hoop.
It was usually Attila the Nun is the one that was my favorite.
It was hard to make any progress. So how are you? Pretty good?
Good. Everything's good. It's Saturday morning. The sun is shining in Milwaukee. Yeah. It's not snowing.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. What is this streetcar nonsense? Why do you need a streetcar? I know this is like a pet project. It's probably a good thing, therefore.
Well, it's a very good thing. Yeah. It's a very good thing. And what we want to do, what you're seeing, this is where Milwaukee is different from when you left here back in 1970 or whenever you deserted us, for God's sakes. Yeah. What's happened is there are a lot more people living downtown. And when you were here...
And there's a crying need for streetcars.
There's a crying need for streetcars. When you were here, the only place people lived downtown was the Cudahy Towers, if you remember that. Now there are literally tens of thousands of people who live in or near downtown.
Where are they living?
There's a lot of condos, a lot of
apartments.
Casket
Company, is that now?
That's not one, but all sorts of places,
That tannery that was down there?
The tannery,
absolutely,
yes. Lots of people live there. And a lot of people...
Did you live in a tannery? Oh, my God.
It's all right. It's
that doesn't
fine.
Come out of the walls.
You get used to the smell. Everything's fine. But a lot of people are coming out of school with a lot more student debt, and so they're not buying a car, they're not buying a house, and they want to get around.
Yeah, but why do you need a streetcar?
Because I have a desire for one.
This is all about you, isn't it?
That's right.
You want to have a streetcar. I don't quite understand. Are these people, they don't call them yuppies anymore, urban, I guess, but they used to call them yuppies, but, people living, urban youth.
Absolutely. And
Are they demanding a streetcar?
They certainly want one. It's true that they want one. And what?
Wait a minute. Do we have any urban youth here? Streetcar.
So it's
how do you feel about streetcar?
It's for the young and the young at heart. The young at heart. Both of those. And it really gets it allows people to get around more easily downtown. And what's happening in America, not just here, is people are coming back to the city. They're coming back to the city. Yeah. And if you look at the 51 largest metropolitan areas in the country, we're about 2021 in terms of having young people living downtown.
Yeah.
So it's not the city that it was in the 1960s and 1970s. And I think even a lot of people here don't realize it. We've got close to 1,000 housing units that are under construction as we speak right now.
Yeah.
So it's really changed a lot, which is exciting. It's good news for.
So let them ride streetcars.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because we used to have them. When number 20 did come down.
When you were saying that, I thought, oh yeah, he knows the city.
Yeah. No, and we used to they were trolleys, I guess you call them, but they're basically streetcars, and they had a lever in front and a lever in, but they were run by levers. So the driver is in front. Working his lever, but there's a lever in back, so you could drive it in back like you're going
backwards.
We're not
going to do that, Michael. We're not going to allow that to happen.
I would only approve of this if there was levers in front and back, and you could play with the lever in back if you're a kid and pretend you're backing up.
But we'll get you. I'll get a free ride for you if that doesn't violate any of your ethical rules.
I'm not going to ride a damn trolley. I don't care. I've come this far. So, okay. Is it true that Milwaukee is the mayor is a weak form of government mayor?
I could do 60, 70 push-ups right here if you gave me 3 or 4 days. So,
because I read that, because I always thought it was a strong mayor. You know, Mayor Meyer was mayor for, well, I think, 110 years.
110 years, exactly, yeah.
And
this is true. I still have people come up to me and say, Mayor Meyer. And I say, the guy was first elected in 1960. Yeah. Come on, we've changed.
Yeah. Well, there's only been him and you, the only two mayors of Milwaukee. In modern,
well, John Norquist was there for almost 60 years.
I know, but we don't talk about that. Okay. Of course, the socialists, it's because socialists built the sewers.
And they did a very good job.
Yeah, then they went down and we never saw them again. Yeah. And there was the end of the socialists in Milwaukee. Of course, they were national socialists, but still, you know. Not going there, huh? So, I mean, do you have, is it a weak mayor thing? I mean, does the council have most of the power?
It's a pretty good balance, and I have a good working relationship with the council. So that's, we're making it work. This is not the same city that it was. It's a city that is really evolving in a very positive way. There's a lot going on here.
Yeah. And was that because of Meyer, though?
Oh, I have to give him all the credit. Yeah.
No. I mean, for that, they changed the sort of the way it operated.
Oh, actually, there was more power put into the mayor's office back in the 1980s when John Norquist came in. He did something very smart. He was elected in April of 1988, and in May of 1988, he got the legislature to make it a cabinet form of government, which is, for most people, it's in the weeds, but it really gave the mayor more strength than he had had before that.
Yeah. Have you ever thought of it, the mayorship? As a stepping stone, you thought of like running for governor.
That's an interesting idea.
Yeah.
That's an interesting idea. Let me think about that several times.
Should have maybe. Huh? I don't know. This whole Bucks. This is kind of getting out of hand, isn't it? A little bit. I mean, I know you can't talk about it because you're involved in these negotiations and so forth, but.
I think they
really need $1 billion?
Well, what they're saying is they want the arena, and then they want to do $500 million in development around that, which is a very good thing.
Yeah, be a good thing.
And for the city, you have to make sure it happens. That's the whole name of the game, because where the city benefits is if there's an investment outside the arena. The arena, that's good. But the reality is that the proceeds from the players goes to the state. I have nothing against that. Mm-hmm. So the state really is the big beneficiary in terms of government revenue for that. But we'd love to have more energy. We'd love to have a lot more development, and that's what's going on right now. If you look at downtown Milwaukee for the last 10 years, we've had close to $5 billion in development that's done or is on the horizon. And we want to keep that momentum going. It's a real positive momentum, and we want to keep that momentum going.
Yeah. I think Walker needs to take more money out of the UW system. Pour it into the Bucks.
Well, as I
we need like $700 million.
As a father of two kids in the UW system, I would like to have more money in the UW system. Thank you very much.
I'm there too. They've got my money. I know that. So that's still in. It's a little bit alarming. Maybe it's just me. To know that the New York hedge fund owns your team. You know, that's a little alarming. I don't know.
And you said this in your earlier comments, it's a different world. It's not grocery store owners who own the teams anymore.
Yeah.
It's just a different world altogether.
Yeah. So it doesn't alarm you. Of course, you can't say it's alarming.
You got to deal with it. You deal with it.
Got to deal with it. Okay. Don't they own the Knicks, too? Though? Wasn't there like a hedge fund?
I don't know if they own it. They had an interest, I think, in the Brooklyn Nets, or at least, and then they decided this was greener pastures. And again, if someone's going to invest $250 million here, $500 million, I'll take that money and have the investment.
Yeah.
So I want to create jobs here. So it's all about creating jobs, too.
What's wrong with Bradley? It's a very nice facility.
It was built for hockey.
I saw the doors there.
Okay. It is very nice. It was built for hockey, so the layout is just not perfect for what's going on right now in the NBA. But
they found out it was fine all these years.
It was about 20 minutes ago. 20 minutes ago they found out.
It's perfectly fine. There are too many Chicago fans in there, but, you know.
Well, if they're spending their money here, that's fine with me. Just spend your money here.
That's okay with you. Bring back the stash. Oh, there's that campaign going on now. But you've had just about every job in politics.
I'm working at it,
governor thing.
Yeah, I'm working at it. Yeah.
But all the way up and
just keep pouring salt in that. Thing.
Just keep pouring. Well, if he wins the presidency, it's going to be wide open there for him. I mean, that's the upside of it. I'm not saying it's all...
You're killing your ratings.
I'm not saying it's all up and so forth. Would you have been, doing it over again, would you have been more of on the attack, do you think, and running for governor?
I haven't...
Because you're not that kind of guy.
I'm not that kind of guy in terms of I don't rip people's faces off. I like to get things done. And it's different strokes.
Do you ever feel like you'd like to rip somebody's face?
Oh, I can sit here and very calmly talk to you, and you have no idea what I'm saying inside of me.
You want to rip my face off?
If you took off that first layer, it would be unbelievable.
Just for losing the governorship twice? You want to rip my face off, mentioning that? Oh, that's okay. So, and then, so a lot happening. It is quite different than the Milwaukee event. Definitely.
Well, so here, you're the
interviewer,
I have to interview you. What was your favorite memory of growing up in this great city?
It was the beer.
It was the beer.
I mean,
14, 15 years old.
The field trips to the beer. You know, and where else in school, anyone go field trips, you know, people go to museums in other cities. We went to the brewery.
Okay.
And there was, I think it was in the Schlitz plant, there was a beer kettle that was born in 1949, my year.
All right.
Because they put the years that, you know, this giant brass kettle. It was a thing of beauty, actually. A wonder of the world to me. It was a big brewing kettle. Remember those?
So here's
Copper,
something. Here's
1949.
Something that I would like you to do before you leave our wonderful city is go over to the old Pabst complex and those beautiful kettles.
They're still
and
there?
I'll say this to anybody. They're not only are they there, they anchor a hotel. They are there, and there's the building where the kettles were has been transformed into a drop-dead gorgeous hotel.
Yeah.
And they kept the kettles. So
they anchor it. You mean the floor is like resting on the kettles? That's upsetting.
They've got the top of the kettle. Again, take your entire crew, and take a look, and you'll go, wow, the guy really was telling the truth. This is really cool.
Yeah. Oh, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, on the grow, on the move. What's your next? After you get the streetcar, what are you going to do?
Well, we're going to continue with the development we have. If you go to the Menominee Valley, for example, there's a lot that's happened there. When you were here, the Milwaukee Road Yard were there, and it became so deserted, the way I describe it, is even the bad guys didn't go there. There was no reason to go there. There just was nothing there.
Yeah.
And we've completely turned that around. The old Pabst Brewery, we're in the midst of turning that around. The next in a challenge is going to be the old A.O. Smith site, which is 35th and Capitol, and we're investing a lot of money there. Because there's a need for a lot of jobs. That's the area of the city where there's a lot of unemployment. And so we're really focusing a lot of energy there. So the one thing to remember is that Laverne and Shirley don't work here anymore. and this is not the city it was in 1970. And it's changed. And we've got some challenges. But the opportunities and the good things far outweigh the challenges we face.
Yeah. Well, Mayor, I thank you. I know you're in a hurry. You got other things going on. There might be negotiations of some sort. Mayor Tom Baer, thank you so much. Thanks for clapping in.
So I just have to say I've appeared on Meet the Press.
Yes.
I've appeared on what's the one with that Danny Gokey was on the show, American Idol.
You were on American Idol.
I was on American Idol. I was on Meet the Press, and now I've been on your show. Yeah. So my life is complete.
Yeah.
This is it. This was my goal in life get on this show. So thank you. Welcome home.
Thank you. Mayor Tom Baer, thanks. Mayor Tom Baer, the Honorable Tom Baer. I think she grew it back, though. There's room for it. I saw there's plenty of room for it.
Before I forget, I think your left shoe is untied. I don't want you to, go...
Thanks, Mom.
...down.
It's more like, Michael, you know your shoe is untied.
That's how I'm
saying. I didn't know that.
I don't want you to trip.
Oh, I see. You're right. Now,
fall and have a very unfortunate accident.
No, I don't think that'll happen.
We'd all be out of work.
Introduce our new band members.
Well, we got a couple people today replacing Clyde Stubblefield on drums. We have the great drummer, Dave Bayless.
Dave Bayless.
And on... tenor saxophone, special guest for today, an excellent musician from here in Milwaukee, Eric Shore.
And who's this leftover you got here?
And of course, our regular bass player who's with us every week, Mr. on bass, Mr. Jeff Hammond.
Jeff Hammond. What's this tune going to be here?
Huh?
I say, what's this tune going to be here?
I don't know.
I tie my shoelace, too.
A Night.
This is, yes, string bass. Right here. We're on the air.
We're on the air.
Once again, Michael Feldman.
Oh, yeah. That was a nice tune, I thought. I just get down these steps here, I should be fine. And how are you all? Doing pretty good, yeah? And where are you from?
Grafton.
From Grafton. Always a plus. What do you do out there in Grafton?
Well, I'm a retired fifth grade teacher.
Are you?
So I do anything I want.
Do you miss it, though?
Well, I do go back and sub just where I taught.
And they pay attention to you because they know that you mean business.
Absolutely.
And you as well?
Ironically enough, I'm from Grafton as well.
Do you know each other? It's ironic that you sit next to someone. Yeah.
Yeah, we just met this morning. But we've been living together for years.
It's all right with me if it's all right with the local authorities. I don't really care. And your name is?
I'm Craig. Craig Pierce.
I'm Randy.
Are you in education as well, Craig?
Yes, I work at Marquette.
Are you in education, though? What do you do there?
I'm the assistant dean of the graduate school.
Ooh. You're sitting right here in this, what row is this? Row CC, if you got something pending here. Right here. Very nice to meet you. Very nice to meet you as well. Thank you for coming. Let's see what we got here. We got a whole host of things. And what are you taking pictures of, sir?
Posterity.
Posterity doesn't care about this.
I'm on my posterior.
Oh, okay. Would you like my posterior? There you go, for posterity. You get it? Can you get it all in, or should I move further? You really don't want a close-up of it. How are you?
I'm great. I'm from Milwaukee. Mitchell Street.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's my next question. Where are you from?
Around the corner down near John McGivern.
Is Mitchell Street, is that the store still? What's this famous store in Mitchell?
It's because one of the founders developed that area, and then it became what it is today.
Yeah, the big shopping store, though. There.
Oldman.
Is that still there?
For Oldman, but now they're going to develop it into something else.
Is it like condos now? Goldman condos?
A little of everything.
Yeah.
When they want to get it to where they want it to be.
Yeah. Okay. And so, what about them Brewers there? I notice you're wearing your Brewers jersey. Are you going to the games?
I've been following him since 1970, and you always remember that you don't want to just be a fan when things are down. 82 is a perfect example. They can be pretty awesome if they get the right things going.
Yeah. So you don't want to be a fan just when they're losing, is that what you're saying?
You can, or you can just collect all the...
Get used to that. And...
No, it's great, Michael. And you're on my bucket list, so we'll get some KFC after the show.
Okay. And your name once again is?
I'm Jim from Milwaukee.
Jim from Milwaukee, ladies and gentlemen, representing many Jims from Milwaukee. John, hey guys. Good. Say something, John.
Hello, everybody.
Yeah. That's my friend John Seeger and the lovely Lindsay. Hi, Lindsay.
Hello, Michael.
How'd you do last night? You playing Kenosha last night?
I did.
Did you play?
At a place called Fusion.
Fusion.
I know.
Yeah.
The Mocha's Tap.
We tried, but it was not Mocha's Tap anymore.
Level there. Things change. They're changing all over. What is? Oh, Jay Bubrick is here, ladies and gentlemen. And Jay Bubrick is the only friend I have left in Milwaukee, actually. No. Proper. Are you in Milwaukee proper?
Whitefish Bay.
Oh, no, you're not. Okay. So so here's the deal. I got inducted into the Washington High School Wall of Fame. It's actually a glass case. It's a glass case next to the child care center. And many famous individuals, I'm not saying I am, are in that case. Herb Kohl is in there. Gene Wilder. Who else is in there?
Selig. Bud Selig.
Bud Selig. Jay Bubrick is pending. So just stand up a second here. And so here's what the deal is. The thing was on a Friday morning, like at 9 or something like that. And I couldn't figure a way I could get there and not have to go through that miserable traffic coming in, you know. And so I didn't go, but I sent Jay Bubrick. I asked Jay Bubrick if he would go in there and pose as me. Because they didn't know what I looked like, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. People came up to me even with that picture of you on there, and he asked me how the show was going.
What did you tell him?
I just BS'd a little. Not much.
Yeah, so is that what you said, really?
Yeah.
Well, that really kept up the whole je ne sais quoi about Feldman, didn't it?
Well...
So what did they do to indoctrinate you? Was there a blood taken, anything like that?
The usual, yeah. Blood, sweat, and tears.
And so, and then did you have to make a speech as me?
No. No, they didn't ask anything at all. Although I was asked to pose with you by someone else for that picture, and I'm not exactly sure, but that was what Washington wanted to do.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. And who was inducted with us?
The magician.
The magician. We're getting down to the bottom of the barrel of this Washington High thing. It was me and a magician, and
who's on it? Pat Harder. Remember Pat Harder? He was a football player.
Oh, and okay, good.
James Kurtz.
Yeah, but what would they do?
Well, I don't know. He's from class of 62. It was before our time. I have no idea what he did.
Anything that you remember that was pretty impressive?
Just Dave Seebach. That was it. The famous magician.
The magician. Okay, so it's a wonderful honor. Thank you, Jay Buberg, for accepting it.
Anytime.
I'll go for yours. And they do.
Don't hold your breath.
Thank you. Jay Buberg, ladies and gentlemen. Posing as Michael Feldman, ladies and gentlemen. Save that because I got to put that in my own wall of fame at home there. Where I have a picture of Jay Buberg actually hanging up. Let's see. Randy Barris. Greendale. You had to leave, apparently. Oh, she had to leave? You're here? Okay. How are you? Come on, stand up here. Let's get excited about this. Randy Barris, this is your life. Fifth grade teacher from Greendale, Wisconsin. So what do you do by day?
I teach fifth grade.
By night?
I work at a wine bistro.
You ever confuse the two?
No, but I work at the last because of the first.
Yeah. And do you find... The conversation you find is remarkably similar in both places?
Exactly, yes. I don't have to change at all.
Yeah. A little less slurred probably during the fifth grade.
No, at night it's a little less.
And what are you studying right now in that fifth grade class of yours?
We're doing eco tubes where we take bottles and make aquariums and terrariums and show how life is fragile.
And at the wine bistro, the same thing, pretty much? Wop bottles and
that's
showing how life is fragile.
Yes, it's very fragile.
God bless you, Randy Barris, ladies and gentlemen. Working both ends of the human spectrum. School and wine. You're going to blow that horn, aren't you? Are you going to blow that horn, Mike?
If you want me to.
Are you about to?
Yeah, I can.
Were you reaching for it? In that case, we'll go to the four disclaimers. We're getting ready for what do you know quiz now. The only quiz you can't hardly lose.
Oh, that's exciting.
And would you come up here, please? The four disclaimers. Can you work without your wife telling you what to do?
I think I can. Yes.
Okay. And you are
Derek.
Derek. Okay. Mm-hmm. You want to take this?
And you bet.
Freedom, and I don't know if we're in the way of the speakers. Why don't you come here a little bit?
Okay.
Keep going. Keep going.
Out the door, right? Yeah. Out the door. Okay. All questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. How about they stay in the Bradley Center and save us the $500 million? Persons employed by the Internet... Sorry? Persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. All opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Well done. You've done us proud. Well, you can go now. Thank you. That's your part. Hi.
Congratulations.
66. 62, you're before me. Okay. So then, right now, if you want to play the What Do You Know quiz, this is your chance to indicate by showing some enthusiasm and... Oh, all right, come on. You knew you were going to get it, didn't you? You knew you were going to get it. You were ready and primed, and you had a pretty good idea that you were going to get picked.
I'm psychic.
You're a psychic? I'm a psychotic, so that's going to work out good. And your name is?
My name is Miriam Kasia.
One good reason you should play this quiz.
Because I want to be up on that stage having a great time with you.
Come on, Miriam! Come on down, Miriam! We're going to partake! It's Miriam, what do you know now? Have a seat there, Miriam. Cow, just like a real show. That was darn cool. We don't usually do that kind of thing. Miriam, it was just for you.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm terrific.
What are you up to these days, Miriam?
I've been walking a lot.
Walking a lot? Like professionally walking? Or, excuse me, I lost my
name. Not street walking.
No, I didn't mean that. I didn't really mean professionally. I meant intentionally walking. Are you walking intentionally?
Yeah, intentionally. Yeah. Intentionally on purpose.
Yeah. Is it for exercise?
A little bit for exercise.
What's the rest of it?
Mostly it's...
To get somewhere?
To get somewhere.
Yeah. Where are you trying to get to?
From Los Angeles to Washington, D.C.
You are. You're on a march.
I was on a march last year for 8 months.
Holy cow, Miriam. Tell us about it. What is that all about?
It's called the Great March for Climate Action. Mm-hmm. And we started on the 1st of March a year ago and walked all the way to Washington, D.C. for 8 months to raise awareness and inspire action on our climate crisis.
Well, that's fantastic. And you walked from L.A.? To Washington, D.C.?
I did.
Did you realize when you started out they're on different ends of the country?
I had an inkling about that.
So how far? That's like 3,000 miles, isn't it?
Well, I wrote you a question. Didn't you read it?
Well, you know, there's a stack of cards here I keep meaning to get to. Because I owe a lot of people thank yous for writing. That's very nice. But...
So my question was, how many steps do you think it is from footsteps from Los Angeles to Washington, D.C.?
Oh, I have
What's your guess? Guess anybody.
It's 3,000 miles. How many steps in a mile? What? Who?
40 million. Somebody said 40
million. 40 million?
That's a little high.
Yeah. They're a little high, I think. So.
It's 7 million steps, and I walked every one of them.
7 million steps. Unbelievable. And this is before Apple Watch. You didn't even have an Apple Watch to count them all for you. Did you count each one as you did?
I actually counted for 1 mile and did the math, and that was pretty close.
How hard was that?
You don't want to know.
Yeah.
It was very hard. It was exciting. It was adventuresome. It was purposeful. And it was grueling.
Yeah, grueling would be the word. And how many people were with you?
I varied from about 35 to 50.
Yeah.
Not everybody walked all the way. You know, some people could only come for a section.
Did you lose some in Iowa? And probably a couple. I bet Montana.
Actually, get careful about Iowa. I'm from Iowa City.
No, I'm in favor of it.
Oh, I'm really glad.
But I mean, you know, I don't know if I would get really out of California. I don't think I would, because you got to go over the mountains, right? Even to get out.
We climbed up a 10,000-foot up to a pass at 10,000 feet, going through the Rockies.
Yeah. Did you go through Vegas?
No.
No.
Went through Tucson.
Could have. Little detour wouldn't hurt you. Another few million steps, and then you next amount. Well, that's amazing. And what's the outcome of it? Did people pledge money, or it was just
make
awareness?
Yes. We had to raise $20 a day to do this. One of my friends says it's the only job I ever had that I had to pay to do it.
Yeah, and it was to raise awareness.
It was to raise awareness and inspire action.
Yeah.
We got to do something now.
Miriam. Fantastic. And then how does Milwaukee figure into this? Are you?
I used to live in Milwaukee.
Oh, you did?
I lived here about 17 years, 25 years ago.
Yeah. And you walked out to L.A. and stayed there for a while? And...
Actually, I did move to San Francisco for a while.
Yeah.
The area.
What did you do in Milwaukee?
I raised my kids, and I worked for General Motors, and then I went to graduate school in California.
Yeah, well, fantastic, Miriam. Congratulations on all you've
Thank
done
you.
And all you're doing and raising awareness on a very crucial issue. Miriam, someone out there plays along with you. You know how this quiz works?
Vaguely.
That's
but
how it
I
works.
I understand it isn't important. You don't have to know much.
No, it's vague, and it doesn't really work. So you're in good stead here. Exactly, Michael. How does it work?
Well, if people want to play the quiz, they're going to pick up their phone and dial a special number. It's 414-224-6166. To make it a little easier to remember, we made a mnemonic thing. So it's 414-BAG-61-NO. So that should help.
That's helpful.
Again, it's 414-224-6166 or 414-BAG-61-NO. And answer this qualifying question.
Okay, here it is. Al Capone had a retreat in, like in most places around Wisconsin, he had a retreat in Milwaukee. I want to know where Al Capone's Milwaukee area retreat was. You know, give us a call here at, what is that, BAG one now?
414-224-6166 or 414-BAG-61-NO.
Okay. That's the Al Capone's Milwaukee retreat. If you know the answer, give us a call here. One of those numbers, however you can remember it, and you qualify for the quiz here with Miriam. All right, let's see. The phones are ringing, but no one is answering, apparently. Okay, Bruce there. Is Bruce on the line there? Okay, is that Bruce there? And Rochester, hey, Bruce, are you there? That's not Bruce. Hi, Bruce, are you there?
I am.
Hi, you're in Rochester, New York, I see.
Yeah, and I know nothing about Milwaukee.
Well, good of you to call. How are things otherwise? How's the family?
Lovely. I walked my dog for 2.5 hours in the park.
Really?
Yeah.
What kind of a dog you got there?
It is a golden doodle.
A golden doodle? Wow.
Yep.
And does it look golden and like a doodle?
Actually, it's pure black. Her name is Cairo.
Oh, nice. Oh, nice. So any plans for the day, Bruce, or what are you doing next?
Well, after 2.5 hours in the park, I'm going to take a rest.
Okay. You wouldn't happen to know where Al Capone's Milwaukee retreat was, would you?
Milwaukee retreat.
Yeah.
I'm going to say a bar. We'll just leave it at that and move
on. Okay. All right. Thanks. All right. Nice talking to you. In Door County, Paul's in Door County. Hey, Paul.
Hello. How are you?
What up? How are you?
Good. Pretty good.
Pretty good. What you doing?
I'm heating up some soup.
You're shooting up some soup? Is that how you take your soup, Paul?
Well, I am warming up the soup.
Oh, I thought you said shooting up. What kind of soup you got there, Paul?
Well, right now I've got Bohemian potato chowder. I've got Irish root soup.
Oh.
I'm serving kapuśniak today, which is a Polish cabbage and kielbasa. Oh. And also the house specialty on Saturday, the rhythm chili.
And this is all for yourself? Oh, you must be really hungry. You're in a restaurant, I presume.
Well, if I get no customers, it will be for myself.
Yeah. What's your restaurant, Paul?
It's called the Charnushka Soup Bar.
Charnushka Soup Bar. Where in Door County is it?
I'm in Wisconsin's only dry town of Ephraim.
Ephraim? Yeah.
Yes.
Door County's only dry town, that's for sure, huh?
Well, so far, yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, Paul, Al Capone's Milwaukee retreat. Know where it was?
I would say it would be somewhere on Lincoln Avenue.
You would be wrong, but you would sound very confident about it. Sorry, though.
Okay, well, I'm thinking he might have been hiding out with the Charnina
kids. I'll tell you what, I'll make it a little easier on you. Was it in Whitefish Bay, Wauwatosa, or Brookfield? Please don't shout out Brookfield.
I would say if I wanted to hide out, it would be in Wauwatosa.
Okay. Talk to you some other time. Thanks, though. Good luck with that soup. Got a lot of soup on his hands there. In Baraboo, it's Claire. Hey, Claire.
Good morning, Michael.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm tired of this weird weather, but...
Yeah, it's very nice here. It's a very nice shade of overcast. Claire, you know anything about Al Capone and his stay in Milwaukee?
I know he had a hideout up north somewhere. I'm going to guess, what did the other gentleman just guess?
He guessed Wauwatosa.
I'll guess Brookfield.
Brookfield is right, Claire! Brookfield. Nice little place in Brookfield. I know he had a place in Kenosha, too, Southport there. So he had a lot of places up north. That one. And Claire, this is Miriam. She is your partner here.
Hi, Miriam.
Hi, Claire. I had another idea.
Yeah.
I think Al Capone's hideout was Washington High School.
Washington High School. He would have been welcome. He'd be on the wall right now next to me and Jay Bubrick. So the two of you work as a team now, okay?
Sure.
Claire and Miriam. Okay. Claire, what do you do up there in Baraboo?
Nothing as exciting as Miriam's life, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Okay, you don't want to talk about it? That's fine.
Yeah, I really don't.
Okay. All right, Claire and Miriam, you are a team. You work together. It's collaborative. We have various categories, don't we, Michael?
Yes, the categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay, Claire, I'll let you pick the first one. What would you like?
Science.
Science it is. Science. What is the mill in Milorganite?
Isn't it recycled excrement?
Why would that be mill?
Milwaukee.
Milwaukee?
You're saying
Organite?
It's recycled Milwaukee excrement?
Yeah.
And that wasn't a good title for a product? That's right. The mill is Milwaukee. Organite. Okay. That's science. That's science, ladies and gentlemen. I don't care what you say.
We have one right and zero wrong. The categories left are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school, and odds and ends.
Miriam?
I'd go for things I should have learned in school.
Okay, school. All right, complete this phrase. When the flame is blank, warm weather ahead. When the flame is blank, watch out for cold. When the flame is blank, no change in view. When there's blank, expect precipitation. Fill in any of those blanks, I don't really care.
Oh, brother.
When the flame is blank, warm weather ahead.
When the flame is red.
Okay. When the flame is blank, watch out for cold.
Blue.
Does blue rhyme with cold?
I don't know. They said it. I'm global.
Claire, weigh in.
Gold.
Gold. Okay. We're almost through with this. When the flame is blank, no change in view.
Blue.
Okay. When there's agitation. Oh, that's the answer. Okay, that qualifies then. Yay. Expect precipitation. I never got that agitation.
Two right, zero wrong. Okay. Current events, people, places, or odds and ends?
Yeah, odds and ends. Okay, Claire?
Let's try people.
People it is. Okay, kind of survey results. A percentage of Milwaukee seniors who snack before breakfast.
Snack before breakfast?
Well, if you eat at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, your late meal, you know, then you're hungry by the time you wake up. So, what was that?
Wasn't me.
Something was flushing somewhere. Percentage of Milwaukee seniors who snack before breakfast, is it 2.2%, 3.3%, or 4.4% snack before breakfast?
Boy, I don't know. What do you think, Miriam?
3.3.
Or 4.4.
Or 4.4.
Or 2.2.
Or 6.7.
Yeah. What are you leaning towards, Claire? Miriam?
4.4.
4.4.
Okay.
Yep. Yes, 4.4%. Holy cow. They've won it. They've won the What Do You Know quiz.
Yes, Miriam, you've won a six-pack of beer and a T-shirt from Lakefront Brewery dedicated to great Wisconsin beer and historic preservation in downtown Milwaukee since 1987, along with a notepad and a Milwaukee bandana reminiscent of souvenir map tablecloths of the 1950s from Handmade Milwaukee. And continue the Milwaukee pride with a tote bag and T-shirt from Local First Milwaukee, strengthening the local economy and creating benefits for everyone. And Claire, you and your family will be heading out on 6 miles of trails over 185 acres of the Schlitz Audubon Nature Center just north of Milwaukee. And then taste true tea with a selection of Rishi tea using highest quality organic and fair trade certified teas, and sport a t-shirt from this, the fourth oldest continuously operating theater in the United States, the Venerable Pabst, built in 1895. Congratulations to both of you.
Miriam. Claire, nice job. Hang out. Make sure you get all that stuff. Thanks for coming in.
Time is running out for our longest listener contest. Submit your entry by week's end at notmuch.com. Just go to our contact page and send us your story with the subject line contest. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer international. This is PRI Public Radio International. Live from beautiful and historic Pabst Theater in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, it's Michael Feldman. What do you know? Sorry. From Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI Public Radio International. That's John Tulane on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, Dave Bayless on drums, and I'm Mike Arnold. In this hour of What Do You Know, it's a performance from Sam Yanis, plus poet Suzanne Thier and craft beer from Mike Romans. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who spent the summer of love in his basement on 58th Street, it's Michael Feldman.
Yeah. Missed the whole summer of love in my basement there, back home in Milwaukee. It was a summer of self-love for me. Well, if you don't love yourself, who can you love? Sam Yanis has got a new solo album out. It's called The Whole Night Through. Of course, you know Sam from the Bodines. He's on his own doing solo career, doing Great Guns. Brand new album, Whole Night Through. Would you welcome, please, Sam Yanis to our show right now on the stage here at the Pabst Theater. Joining us on stage. Hey, Sam. A lot of fans here for you, Sam. How you doing?
Doing all right?
You came out by daylight. This is kind of unusual for you, isn't it?
Yeah. It's not my favorite, but, you know, yeah. For you, anything. You know?
Yeah, well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Now, I want to play something for you here. Just take a minute and see if you gave your approval for this rendition of one of your songs. Can we run that, please? Can we run that, please? That's Governor Walker at his inaugural ball. Did you give your approval?
I heard about that, yeah.
Yeah, did you give your approval for the usage of that tune?
No, he didn't contact us.
He didn't contact you? Well, how do you think he did? Just to...
Well, he's about as good as bad as he is at his other job.
All right, well, I guess we'll leave it at that. So these are all new songs. You're on a writing streak right now.
I'm sorry, what?
You're on a writing streak right now. There's all new, a lot of new songs on this the whole night through.
Yeah, all brand new songs.
All brand new.
That's my job.
That's your job. Which one are you going to do for us first?
A song called Deja Vu.
Deja Vu, sounds great.
I've been dreaming of your deja vu.
Thank you.
single key opens a double lock. I head in door and there you are. Climbing 20 stairs up into the heart of darkness. Blood red paint dripping off the wall. The tiny screams of a hardwood floor. And the shadows on the walls look like vultures just waiting for your carcass to fall. Yes, it started on a bell, like the fall of the house of Usher. I can feel all the ghosts in the room. Yes, it started on a sea, like I have been here before. I've been dreaming out of your deja vu. Two stained glass windows rising tall and high are staring at me like bloodshot eyes. Disguise. A spiral staircase tucked way in the back only leads up to more shadow and black. This dream has turned a nightmare. Now I'm waiting for my mind to just crumble and crash. Yes, it started and I fell, like the fall of a house of Usher. In the road, yes, it's starting on a sea, like I have been here before. I've been dreaming of your deja vu. Love it. That's a great one. It's a rocker, Sam.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's a hard one to sing at this time of the day, though.
Yeah, I know. Especially when you're actually asleep. I mean, you did a great job. That's a great song. Brand new, huh?
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. The Whole Night Through. Well, what label is that on? Whole Night Through.
I just put out myself.
Put out yourself?
Nobody else wants me these days, so you gotta be proactive here.
Oh, you're back, man. That sounds great. You want to introduce these guys behind you here?
Okay, on guitar we have Mr. Sean Williamson.
Sean.
On drums, Ryan Schiedemeyer.
Right.
And the owner of the Jazz Estate here in Milwaukee, Mr. Matt Turner.
Good man to know, Jazz Estate guy. Sounded really terrific. Good band together. You guys haven't been together that long, right? But it sounds great.
Well, we've been playing together for about 3 years now.
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool. And this guy plays all these amazing licks. And he stays so calm doing it.
He's a keeper. Sean Williamson.
Yeah. What do you got now?
This is a song called Dangerous Love.
Dangerous Love. Sounds good.
Careful, folks, because it's out there.
A dangerous love, I can see it in your eyes. Oh, oh. Cause every face that I see just leaves me cold. Then you come walking by me wearing those eyes, and they're saying, come with me, and I can set you free. And then suddenly in your eyes, a dangerous love is full of alibis. You know the music sounds good, we start to move nice and slow, and I'm feeling alright, I'm feeling like I am in control. What you looking into me with those eyes, and I see another side, a wild and sexy ride. And then what once was tight unbinds. A dangerous love, I can see it in your eyes. A dangerous love, it's full of alibis. A dangerous love, very few will survive. A dangerous love, I can see it in your eyes. Whoa, whoa. Dangerous love is full of alibis. A dangerous love, very few will survive. A dangerous love, I can see it in your eyes.
The Whole Night Through is the new CD, and you'll be at Summerfest too, right, guys? Coming up? Yes. And at Summerfest, so look for at Summerfest too, as well. Okay, cool. All right. From music to poetry, it's a short step, really. And if there's any step at all, actually, I just think about it. Milwaukee does strange things to people, poems selected and new from Susan Farrer, who is actually the poet laureate of Milwaukee, or was. I guess there's a new one now, but we don't. That's for life. Would you welcome Susan Farrer, please, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, that's you. That's you now. How are you? Have a seat. So you know what we have in common, besides we're both from Milwaukee, but I'm the biggest fan of William Carlos Williams, my favorite poet in the world.
Well, there's a new anthology out, people writing on William Carlos Williams. It's called Revisiting Dr. Williams, and I do have a piece in that.
You do? Oh, how wonderful.
I love Will. He was very important to the way I think about writing about the local. Uh-huh. I mean, no one calls him provincial writing about Patterson.
No. I love, and you know, I did, when I got divorced, my first time, I haven't gotten the second one yet, but anyhow, and I went out to Naropa Institute in Boulder and took Allen Ginsberg's disembodied poetics course, because I thought that would take my mind off things, which it did. And he taught poetics from the beginning, because people were writing against forms, and he didn't know what the forms were. So he went back to the very beginning, you know, and... But then he did a whole thing on Williams.
Well, he loved Williams. He went and paid a pilgrimage to Williams when he started off.
Yeah, they're both from New Jersey, among other things.
No, Allen Ginsberg spent a week at my house when he was in town. He asked if he could stay there.
No kidding.
Do you like that? Yeah.
How did he use a lot of towels or anything? Or what? How was he as a house guest?
Actually, it's a terrible story because he came with food poisoning.
Oh, my God.
And someone said, I gave him food poisoning. He said, she didn't give it to me. But all night I stayed up, and I was like, should I call an ambulance? I don't want Allen Ginsberg to die at my house.
Oh, no.
I was really, nervous.
Yeah.
But he was better in a day or two. And
what, did he have an undercooked brat or something?
And he had been traveling quite a bit, and he came just so sick.
Yeah, well, that's almost a wonderful story.
I cured him. I didn't make him sick.
That's almost a wonderful story.
Almost.
Almost a wonderful. I mean, he was sick.
He
almost died.
It's really small. But when they started cloning people, I was like, I shouldn't have washed it when he gave it to me. It was his. Yeah. Well, that's all. Nothing else.
Okay, I don't know where to interject on this story, so I'm not going to.
Well, I just thought I could maybe clone Allen Ginsberg because no one else like him.
Yeah, but Williams, and he admired him and loved him as well. But a doctor who wrote about things that he saw. I mean, early mornings in Patterson, going to someone's, when doctors still made house calls and stuff, and what he saw and what he experienced and about the people he encountered and stuff.
On his prescription pads on the car seat next to him.
Did he
wrote?
Yeah, mm-hmm. You know that poem to Elsie.
Mm-hmm. The pure products of America go crazy.
Yeah, love it. And it's so much of sort of what's happening now. You know, it's sort of like the American dream has gone so many strange directions and stuff.
Oh.
And I always think of that poem by and of course, yours now in Milwaukee.
Well, he's one of the influences. When I wanted to write about this place, I mean, I think of Whitman, I think of Frank O'Hara, but William Carlos Williams, Elizabeth Bishop, and people said, well, yeah, but they were on the East Coast or... And I was like, well, you could still write about more. And they said no one would be interested. But really, they're interested.
Yeah, no, it's all interesting. It's about people. It's not about...
Well, every place has their own spots of grace and their own oddities.
Yeah. Was that thing? What is the place? Oh, I want to go ahead and start to quote Williams. I'm not good at it, so I won't do it. But Milwaukee does strange things to people.
It does.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
What strange things has it done to you?
Oh, well, look. Read the poems. I mean, here I am after all these years. I mean, I travel quite a bit because I have lived in one place, so I think you have. Well, Ginsberg said to me when I was very young, he said, you have to leave the country at least every 2 years to see what people outside the country are saying about where you live.
Really?
And so I kind of took that as a challenge and do that.
Were they saying anything about Milwaukee, where in Romania or wherever you
were? Well, last time I was in Greece, they were saying a lot about the United States.
Yeah, not Milwaukee per se, probably.
well, it's part of it.
Yeah. So this is about, it's about Milwaukee. It's also sort of about, with heavy Catholic overtones.
Well, the Jesuits say, if we have you for the first 7 years, we have you forever.
So the, and that's sort of a lot of sort of woven in with a spirituality that you experienced.
Well, as a young woman coming up in the Catholic Church, I was always trying to explore, is there really room for women in that denomination? I had an aunt who was a nun, and I mean, when she joined the convent, we were told we'd never see her again. I wasn't bored, but things loosened up, and she lived to be 90-something. She said it was a great life. She was always happy. She chose it.
And had you thought about that calling yourself as a child?
Oh, when I was a child, I used to, I would have mass in my bedroom, and I had altars, and I'd wear headbands with six scarves, and to get the kids, I'd serve grape shoes, and they had these little Clark Candy wafers. I'd give them communion if they were deserving. Yeah. And I even went, I lived close to the lake, I'd go down and get the fish and chop their heads off, because fish are very... the alewives, you know, that were many.
Why did you chop the fish's
heads
off?
Well, it just seemed it was a big spiritual symbol, because that's what they had in the secret places in Rome where they first met, and I wanted to have that symbol in my church.
Yeah. But they had to be headless?
Well, yes. And my parents got mad when I moved it into the cubbies on either side of their dressing room because I left dead fish behind. Yeah.
Okay. Was there a point or something where some of this dissipated? Some of the fervor? You're not a fallen...
I'm not saying mass anymore.
Yeah, you're not falling away.
I think of myself as having a kind of Frankenstein spirituality. I take from all different traditions and put them together in some wonderful monster.
Yeah. Was this in Bayview? Is that where you grew up?
Whitefish Bay.
In Whitefish Bay, okay. Because no, there's Bay Shore is what I was thinking. Bay Shore, yes, hosiery. That's one of my favorite, actually.
Do you remember those stores? Did your mother go to those, or did you miss that time?
I didn't get to shop for hosiery with her. Everything
you
else.
You didn't go. My mother always took me along when she went shopping.
For girdles and such?
Oh, I have a poem about my mother's girdle. And my sister never forgave me for saying it was as large as our shower curtain, because she said that was hyperbole, and I said, well, it seemed that way.
It can be both, can it? It can be as large and hyperbole.
I actually, there used to be a TV show, Arts Place, and I did regular poems on it, and they asked me to read that there, and they'd film on location. So we went to Marshall Fields, and they wouldn't let us near the girdle. The girdles, they let us get to the camisoles, but we couldn't get to the girdles to film it there.
Really?
Yeah.
That was off limits?
Well, I guess they didn't want anyone to see the real thing.
Yeah. I know they were strange objects, and they were hanging around the house to dry. But, you know, these well, little clips on things on them, and I didn't want to know about it, but it was really kind of...
Anne Sexton had a great poem about talking about a woman stepping out of her girdle into her redeeming skin, meaning she was more beautiful when she wasn't in the cultural construct. Yeah. And so then I just took it down to my mother fighting with that girdle, trying to get it on, and, you know... Yeah. All the powdered footprints she left behind in her funny dance. But sometimes they'd put it on, they'd rerun it, and they wouldn't tell me, and I'd get these strange phone calls, and people would say things, my mother dried hers on top of the dryer. So I gradually became a kind of depository of girdle information.
Girdle lore. Gird your girdle lore, I guess. Do you want to read? Want to read that? I don't know if you want to read that one. You want to do the girdle one?
Well, you know, I'll leave it up to you, but what I was thinking is you were talking about your high school and you're on the Wall of Fame, and my mother went to Washington High School.
She did.
Well, she was Irish, French, Catholic, and the girls had their choice between Washington and Holy Angels, and her sister went to Holy Angels. You mentioned that.
Yes.
And my mother's friends went to Washington High School, and she went there, and honestly, she had one of the best educations. Later, I taught college for 30-some years, and she had as good an education than college graduates. That was Latin. You could put any crossword puzzle in front of her, and she could do it in a few minutes.
Yeah.
Just a wonderful education.
Yeah. I had a pretty good one.
Yeah. Look.
I didn't pay much attention, I must admit. I don't know
what So what I was thinking maybe is that I could do, I think a lot of people who are writers or or just been successful, had a good teacher, especially an English teacher, somewhere in their background. So I thought maybe I could read a poem about, but if you'd rather have the girdle
no, I'll go there.
No.
I'll go with the non-girdle.
Okay, yeah. Should I read here?
Yes.
Okay.
Sure.
So this is called, actually, I think your producer told me at first you went to Whitefish Bay High School.
No.
And then I was wondering, oh, I wonder if he had Mrs. Post. This is called Mrs. Post's Sixth Hour English Class. Old white-haired Mrs. Post slippered her joined and curved forefingers into her every dress's white-laced V-neck. There, she moved her hand metrically up and down between her freckled breasts the whole while she read to us. That day it was Robert Frost. Reading Frost by any second quatrain, Mrs. Post became transported. Scansion increased her heartbeat. Spondees visibly shortened her breath. That hot afternoon we read Stopping by Woods on a snowy evening. Her recitation even gave me a slight shiver. It was summer. Wasps had flown into our opened classroom windows. Girls waved hand, folded theme paper fans. Boys after lunch dozed. The class had just left the snow-filled woods on the darkest evening of the year. There, the little horse near the frozen lake was still shaking his harness bells, and in the lonely dark, the wind was still blowing. Oh, no, now the class was off to a yellow wood. Someone was sighing. It wasn't me. I was lost. I could not keep up, but I was happily lost in clicking ice-covered birches and magnified apples and domes of heaven. When I finally managed to catch up, Mrs. Post was in philodendrons. No. She wasn't in philodendrons. She was summing up the road not taken. Philosophical. Very philosophical. And that was when she posed the question, what did Frost mean? I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. Now, here, I believe we are close to the moment where I decide to be a poet. Debbie Siegel, whose mother, and everyone knows this, drove the family's mink-colored Impala into the family swimming pool only a week before. Debbie, who everyone knows never speaks except in gym class or home economics, raised her arm and impatiently waved her hand as if cleaning a stubborn streak off a window. Possibly, in anticipation of all post-structural theory, Debbie said, it is clear, if the speaker of the poem had traveled the more traveled road, he would have ended up at the milkman's. Since he did not need milk that day, he took the road less traveled. What? Even the most completely uninterested students perked up then. What was happening? Mrs. Post's hand flew out of her dress. Michael Durkin sat up and started sputtering. Susan O'Toole, of the best jumpers in knee socks, was about to try logic. Logic. What does logic have to do with poetry? When the bell prize fight loud rang, we all returned to our corners. But, and this is important, we were not untouched. Judy Feinberg's black ponytail whipped her cheeks from her agitated head swinging as she exited. And I believe I was changed also. I left Mrs. Post's room bedraggled with words and their possibilities to create hallucinations, quiet breathing, and create bouquets of confusion and feasts of loss. And in Debbie Siegel's case that summer afternoon, to focus attention on syntax and grammar. Never before in Mrs. Post's class, or any other class that I shared with her, had Debbie ever spoken so well, with such precision, such elaborately constructed and weirdly considered comments. And I, for one, have always been grateful to both Debbie and old white-haired Mrs. Post, who had the wisdom that afternoon to allow us to leave her classroom in such sweet, suspension of sense, which I grew to understand as only one of the many glittered costumes of the lively, breathful poems I am always growing to love.
That's wonderful.
Thank you.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. It captures so much, and it's you know, your observation is so amazing, and that's terrific.
Thank you. It makes me fearful of high school reunions, but
yeah, those are actual people. Are those their real names, or are their names?
They're real names, but they were actually they aren't the people who did the things. All the things are true, but I use the names for the music of them. I learned that because my husband studied with Saul Bellow. And
oh, really?
In Henderson, the Rain King, you'll find that the name Hazard, and that was his name.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
And so I learned you rake your student years for good names and student lists in the future. I did also.
Wow. You're quite the couple. That's amazing. I love Henderson, the Rain. It's one of my favorite books of all time.
Really? Yeah. Well, he had the good fortune to study with him. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Would you like to do another one? Yeah,
really?
I love that. I love that. That was amazingly good.
Well, we could do a short one about Milwaukee.
Yeah.
What do we feel like doing? Maybe I should do this because the mayor was here, and for a while I wanted these last two lines. I mean, I could do a more lyrical and sincere one, or I could end. I'll do the short one.
Okay.
It's titled Milwaukee, and when I wrote this, people say poetry makes nothing happen. That's what the modernists thought. But when I wrote this, Robert Burns Square was a triangle. And then it was published, and all of a sudden the sign came up, Robert Burns Commons. They changed it because it was never a triangle. Milwaukee, Robert Burns Square is a triangle. Liberace, left. Lake Michigan is shrinking. 2 a.m. dumpsters fill with crutches and snow. There's a thief stealing all the St. Francis statues in the city. Plenty of tubas, though. Accordions, too. People eat fried cheese and perch tacos. Friday nights, there's enough tartar sauce for everyone. That seems to speak to the city's oddness, don't you think?
Yeah, no, it's very nice. Yeah. I love it. I love it. What else would you like to say? Do you have some place to be?
Oh, I'm having a great time with
you. It's fun to, and when you're reading it, it's almost like to get inside your mind and your powers of observation, and they're both funny and beautiful and lyrical.
Oh,
and,
thank you.
And that old spiritual thing that used to go into chopping heads off of fish has gone in a different direction.
That's right. It's directed now. I often think I'd be in jail if I hadn't followed poetry.
Yeah. And did you live right on the lake?
I've always been within a block and a half to two blocks. Even my office for 35 years had a lake view if I stuck my head out the window in the winter. So it's been a big presence. The first two sections of this book, really, all the poems start with language or imagery or incident of the lakes.
Yeah.
I think it's like the great landmark of our...
Yeah.
It's what I think. I just met someone in the lobby, and I said, well, I thought you moved out of town. And he said, I did, but like many people from here, he moved back. I think it's the lake. It's this big magnet, and no one knows it, but it brings people back here all the time.
Yeah, a powerful influence on you.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, it's. I think it's one of the most beautiful places in the world.
Yeah. Do one more. Do one more.
Oh, how nice. I'll read the newer one. I'll end with this one.
Okay. All right.
The lake is featured in many of my poems, and it's in here too. But it also told earlier you mentioned the socialist background of the city. That's mentioned in here too. Okay. This poem started with two things. The title has all these short I's in it, and I just kept hearing this phrase, silly little city I live and love in. And then I was going down my favorite road, Lafayette Hill, and one morning I had my cup of coffee, everything was falling into place, and I looked north, and every streetlight had a pink net tutu on it, And I just felt so confirmed about living in the city. And later, I told someone, I said, do you know when I reached the bottom of Lafayette Hill this morning? And I told them what I saw, and they said, well, that was publicity for the Degas show at the Milwaukee Art Museum. And, you know, it did not dampen my enthusiasm at all to know that. I just, it's pretty impressive, isn't it?
Yes.
So people talk about my Midwest surrealism, but it's not surreal.
No.
That's what's there.
It's realism.
All right. Silly little city I live and love in. Silly little city with your harp street lamps, blizzards, and vigil light stars. With your toot-toot street lights and 30 below wind chills, band shells and polkas and steamy, smoky lakes, pink waves. With your huge orange moons rising from the lake. With your huge red suns rising from the lake. With your sad jumpers falling into the lake, and your socialist watershed and oriental theater minarets and Sunday morning Quakers meetings surrounded by church bells and taverns. With every day George Washington walking down Wisconsin Avenue, with your ice fishing clinics and beer blessings, with your seven deadly sins parades, with your alewives parades and cladophora winds and streets named after sausages, knock. With Francis Bacon's blue face on the side of your art museum and Joseph Cornell's celestial navigation by Bird's Gallery 18 inside your museum. With your statues of Goethe and Burns, Olmsted Parks and Bakery, Wind's silly little city that erases me, I keep fastening your lake winds to the page.
Susan Fire, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you so much.
I loved it. Milwaukee does strange things to people. New Inflected Poems is the one we've been reading from. Love it. That's, you know, if you have her for a teacher, you become a poet. It's a beautiful thing. It's just a way of seeing things, a way of looking at things and actually seeing them. Absolutely wonderful. Susan Fierer, F-I-R-E-R, by the way. And this is on the Backwaters Press, this book, if you'd like to get it. I think you should. Okay, then, there, hey. Okay, what have you worked up for us here now?
I'm feeling very spaced out now.
You are?
Yeah.
You okay?
Yeah, I don't know if I can play. No, I think. Well, we have a standard here, and it's called If Ever I Should Leave You.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, Michael Feldman.
Yo, Aiden. Okay, are we back or what?
We're back.
Okay.
Yep,
I
totally.
Did you say that?
I did say that. You just
didn't
hear me.
I didn't hear you.
You weren't listening.
Oh, say it again?
No.
Touchy. Very touchy for an announcer.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
What can I tell you?
Okay. Going back in the audience here. I'm a little worried about these steps, but I'm okay. Let's see now. Can Carl Castle leave a message on my answering machine? She's a nurse anesthetist, so I think she's under anesthetics right now. But Roxy, where are you? Wrong show, Roxy. Wrong show. Not this show. Okay? You knew that? Okay, all right. I can take a ribbing like anyone else. Not very well. Let's see. Lois and Mark Ruplinger from the town of Wayne. It's their wedding anniversary. What a way to spend it. Apparently there's nowhere to go in Wayne. How do I get over to you? I almost have to go out the door and come back in to get to you. Okay, I'm going to do that. I'm going to go out into the lobby of the Pabst Theater, come in the other door because I can't see how I want. How are you doing? Okay, good. Let's see, I think I can get back in this other door here. Oh, there's Sam out there selling CDs in the lobby. You see that? There's an ATM out here. I think she's in aisle B. Go into the door. Does this get me the right? Yes, this is the right section, isn't it? The Rucklingers. Town of Wayne. Anniversary.
Thank
How
you.
Are you?
Thank you.
Happy, happy. How many is it?
12 only.
Only 12?
35. We waited for 35 years.
You did? You had to wait out another Mary?
I didn't, but she did.
I did.
Good patience.
Yes,
oh, I'm so sorry. Well, that's not funny then at all, is it? You were there in not 12 wonderful years?
Yes, definitely.
And is there no place to go in Wayne? Is that why you came here?
It's a very small little hamlet, so yes, we decided to come down here today.
That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. But the show, is this a good way to celebrate an anniversary?
I would say.
Really?
Yeah. Yep. That's we would listen to it all the time.
We have a little something for you to help celebrate the anniversary, don't we, Michael?
Yes, I believe we do. A tote bag and T-shirt from Local First Milwaukee. Choosing Local First ensures that your community stays
unique.
No? Okay. A growler and a $50 gift certificate from Rock Bottom Brewery. Life begins when you hit rock bottom.
Cut to the chase. Come on. 12 years. That's worth something. Thank you. Happy anniversary. What is that?
It's the time thing. I'm supposed to blow that when it's time to go to the quiz. Remember?
What? I only talked to one person.
I know. Well, you know, it's a fast-moving show. Come
on.
You
got a couple. It's just one. Yeah. What time is it?
It's about a quarter till, or 14 till.
Then I'll never 14 minutes. I've experienced the wonder of Wauwatosa. The wonder of Wauwatosa. Is there such a thing as the wonder of Wauwatosa, or is that just being in Wauwatosa? K-Law. Yeah. Just tell me real quick. Yes. We'll come down here and take a little more time if you want. We got plenty of time, don't we, really? I shouldn't have given that horn, you know. That was not for him to have. Yeah. Hi.
Hi.
The wonder of Wauwatosa to you is?
That we have beautiful parkways along the river. Lots of wildlife.
We used to park out there when I was in high school. I know about it.
And we have lots of great shopping now. Yeah. And
when do we get to the wonder?
Well,
that's what I'm wondering.
Well, I think it's just wonderful. There are wonderful people there. And we just really
enjoy the Shangri-La. It's the Shangri-La of Milwaukee County.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, come on. You know how rude that is?
I know it is. Yeah.
How
it's
rude
fun
is that?
Though. It's actually kind of fun.
Guy blowing a horn.
I mean, just listen, it's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I'll stop, I swear.
All right, so now we get back up to the stage from here. Anyhow, we're gonna play another round of the What Do You Know quiz. You wanna do that?
Yes.
Is that okay with you?
That's a good idea.
All right. He's been here 1 week and now he runs the show. I don't care for this. Middle
sorry.
Management, you know, you shouldn't let him in the door. Let's see the hands of those of you who want to play the What You Know quiz. Chance to win fabulous prizes simply for being fabulous. And what? This gentleman here? Okay. He's big. I'm not going to say no to him. He's a mountain of a man. How are you?
Fine.
You are?
John.
So I just go by John?
Okay. That's right.
John, what do you do in life as we know it?
Acoustic design and musician.
Design and a musician. Okay. Give me one good reason you should play this quiz, John.
They want me to.
They want me to. Okay, that's good enough for me. Whatever they want, they get. It's the feeling I'm getting. Come on up, John. You're over there. Don't kick the emu on the way over. A lot. Acoustic, what does that mean then, exactly?
Work with architects, design rooms like this one here.
Oh, fantastic, fantastic. And musician, what does that mean?
Keys, bass.
Anything, huh?
A lot of arranging.
Yeah, okay. Leave a card. You got a card? We'll call you.
Sure.
We always need somebody. All right, you know how this works? Someone out there plays along with you, et cetera, so on and so forth. Okay, and how do we do that then, Mike?
Well, if people want to play the quiz, they're going to pick up the phone and dial 414-224-6166. That's 414-BAG-61-NO. And answer this qualifying question. And what is that qualifying question?
Okay, Frederick Pabst was also one of the following. Was he a wrestler, a sea captain, or an excellent dancer? Frederick Pabst. We're in the Pabst Theater right now, 1892, I believe. Next year, they won the ribbon, and it was free sailing from there on. He had the wind at his back after that. Frederick Pabst used to, well, I can't say that. That would give it away, wouldn't it? Let's go to the phone right now. Jeff's in Muskego. Hey, Jeff.
Yes.
Frederick Pabst, besides being the brewer, what was he also? A wrestler, sea captain, or an excellent dancer?
He was a sea captain.
Sea captain is right. Ah, Jeff. Jeff and John. Where are you at? Muskego, huh?
Yes.
What you doing out there?
Cleaning up the house.
Oh, are you? You got company coming over?
No, just kind of spring cleaning.
You just do it once a year? That's great. That's the way to do it. Jeff, this is John. John, Jeff.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi, John.
Cool. All right. Guys bonding. I love it.
That's right.
Love it when that happens. What do you got? Categories, don't we, Mike?
Categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay. Jeff, you pick first one. What would you like?
Let's go places.
Places it is. All right. Here are three places. Milwaukee, West Dallas, and Waukesha. Here are three legends. Liberace, Les Paul, and DeCruzen. Match them with those places.
Well, Liberace was from West Dallas, so that would be Milwaukee.
Okay.
Les Paul was from Waukesha, and the third guy was from the third place.
Okay, DeCruzen. Cows and Beer, of Cows and Beer's fame, from Milwaukee. That's right. Holy cow. That's pretty amazing. Do you agree with that, John?
I agree with it.
Okay, good.
It's one right and zero wrong, and the ones that are left are current events, people, places. Wait, I forgot which one they picked, so.
Yeah.
Places.
Okay, we'll get rid of that one. So current events, people, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
John?
I think you should have learned.
School. All right. What's the Polish moon?
Well, that's the Rockwell clock now.
Oh, you're too good. You're too good, Jeff. Yes, that's right.
That's two right, zero wrong. The remaining categories are current events, people, science, and odds and ends.
All right. John?
Science.
Science it is. You having a great time so far?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Easy gig here.
Yeah. Before the German settlers, Milwaukee was home to A, stegosauruses, whatever the plural would be, woolly mammoths, or marine jellyfish.
Jeff?
They're chased out by the Germans coming in.
That was before my time.
Yes, okay. Stegosaurus, woolly mammoth, marine jellyfish.
I'd go for the jellyfish.
Jeff?
Yeah, it sounds good to me.
Yes, marine jellyfish is all over the place. We're up to our knees in them, except we had no knees at that time. Holy cow, they won!
Yes, John, you've won a pair of growlers along with $50 certificates from Rock Bottom Brewery, makers of fine craft beer since 1991, and located in the middle of downtown Milwaukee on North Plankton. Then burn off excess energy with tickets to Bounce Milwaukee, a small family-owned business with inflatable sports arena, adrenaline zone, Mobius, air hockey, vintage video games, and much more, even a massage chair for adults. And Jeff, you'll swoon over delicious chocolate from Indulgent Chocolatiers, purveyors of handmade truffles, gourmet bars, and other delicacies. Exclusively made in Milwaukee since 2007. Complement that chocolate with coffee and a mug from Collectivo, making great cups of strong coffee since 1993, and take in a play with tickets to Jeeves Takes a Bow, now playing at Cabot Theater from Milwaukee Chamber Theater, producing intimate, high-quality professional theatrical work since 1975. Congratulations to both of you.
Thanks, John. Didn't take much of your time. You did a great job. Jeff, hang in there. Make sure you get that. Thanks for playing.
Okay.
Roman's Pub, you all know it. It's on Kinnickinnick here in town. Built in 1885 as a stagecoach and filled with beer these days. Would you welcome, please, Mike Roman from Roman's Pub. The man from the pub. How are you? Very nice to meet you. Pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you.
Where do you actually hail from, Mike?
River West.
River West.
Born and raised.
Yeah. So you haven't strayed too far from your roots?
Stay along the lakefront. Yeah.
Stay along the lakefront.
Yeah. I'm on the south end of the piece.
If you go inland, you have a certain uneasy feeling. Has your family always had this place, Roman?
No,
place?
It's me.
Yeah.
I've been there my 37th year now.
Yeah.
Overnight success.
Yeah. Overnight success.
Yeah.
What'd you do before the pub?
Bartended.
Bartended?
44 years of doing that.
Yeah, where?
All over downtown. Yeah. And like the mine shaft around 3rd and Juno in the basement of that Sydney High building.
Heard of it. I never went in there.
Yeah.
I wasn't allowed to.
Okay. Oh, that's right.
Yeah. What's your capacity there at Roman's Pub?
99-ish.
Yeah.
With the beer garden around.
Well, with the guy, is that count the guys in the beer garden? Or
well,
not?
Yeah, I am. It's not real busy out there now, except for the smokers. But about 60, 70, it starts getting uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I don't care. I'm behind the bar. So.
Yeah, you don't care. Are they out there smoking in January?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
I'm sure.
That's, you can tell a real smoker if he's out there in January.
Mm-hmm. Dedicated.
What did you bring? Now, you are like the man behind craft beer.
Well, I've been doing it a long time. It's about my 18th year now.
Yeah.
I got into it with one of the local big breweries some years ago and threw all their beer out.
Yeah.
The bar wasn't doing that well. It was one of hundreds of shots in beer bars, you know.
Yeah.
So I tried doing imports, and then it morphed into the craft. And look at now, you know.
Craft is pretty recent phenomenon, isn't it?
Yeah. There were a few around 17, 18 years ago, but now it's just... Yeah. There's, last count, there were 3,040 breweries in the U.S., and that's the most since 1870.
Yeah.
And there's more opening every day.
Yeah, every day.
Yeah.
Everybody and his brother is opening one now.
You're right.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean they're all good, though.
No. you're an aficionado as well.
Yes, I am. Yeah. I sample a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what are you favoring
these days? Don't trust a skinny chef, they say. You know.
What are you favoring these days?
I like the Goose Island India Pale Ale. It's a nice... thank you. Must be my rep.
Yeah.
No, it's just a nicely balanced English-style pale ale with a little hop bitter bite on the end.
Hop bitter bite on the end.
Yes.
That's cool.
Yeah.
John, come on, sit over here because
you're
our beer
and everything, man.
Yeah. Let's. What should we give John first here?
Well, you tend to start out light and work your way heavy.
Okay.
This is a brand new Pilsner style from Sierra Nevada.
Pilsner.
Yeah. That's a light lager.
Do you like the Pilsners?
I do, and I read about this, but I have not tried it.
Yeah.
It's very reminiscent of what the Europeans brought over, what they drank, you know.
What do you think?
That's decent. Yeah. No, I mean, I'm
a hard man.
Well, it's a go-to beer.
Yeah, it's very tasty. It's light.
Yeah. Right. You got a grainy malt and, Saz hop.
Very nice. And that's Sierra Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
Nooner, Pilsner. Okay. Let's try another one.
Okay. This is the...
you can finish that.
This is the IPA. IPA.
This is the one you like.
From Lakefront?
Oh, from Lakefront.
Now, this I really like.
Wanted to represent, Wanted to represent Lakefront.
I had a couple of these last night.
They're my favorite.
On tap, it was even...
I spilled a couple of these last night.
Just looking at you. Okay.
Yeah, my favorite local brewery.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it is.
That's a bite of hop in the butt.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I like that. Oh, I love it.
It's got a little malt for balance, but there's a big hop front to
That's
it.
That's delicious.
It's what I do. Not just...
I can down them when there's that much in the glass. You know, honestly,
Michael right, Feldman's now Radio Now is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International.
Wild
Michael
sour,
Feldman, producer international.
Oh,
Adam
Friedrich,
producer with assistance from Chris Marshak.
Lyle
Anderson, Megan Hannes, Kelly Osborne, and Diana
That's
Cook.
From,
Technical director Tom Blaine with assistance from Brad Kohlberg and Aubrey Rouse.
I was sour with you. Thank you, everyone in Milwaukee. Thank you for having us. Thank you to the Pats here, all the folks at the Pats. I love being here. Thank you, Mike Roman, for bringing the beer. Here's a sour looking at you.
PRI, Public Radio International.